Hi, everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everybody. Hope you're having a nice day. Today, I have a special guest. Her name is Liz Johnson, and we'll be talking about baseball. After doing this recording, I realized how integral baseball expressions are to American English. We use them every day, and with that in mind, I decided to take the extra long audio recording of Liz and I and divide it into two reasonably sized episodes. Both of these will be available to all listeners for free. If this episode sparks your interest in American English slang, be sure to check out the episode webpage. There, I'll post a link to the American English slang book, which is also free for all of you. If you'd like to get the transcript as well as bonus material, including quizzes, exercises, and more, be sure to visit the classroom at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Without any further ado, let's begin. Hi, everyone. How's it going? Today, we have a special guest here, Liz Johnson. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
She's back again. She was actually on two previous episodes on the podcast. First, on episode number 31, when we talked about Halloween. It was the Halloween special, and she told us all about her great Halloween experiences as a kid. So check that out if you're interested in hearing about that side of American culture. And she was also on episode number 41, when we talked about American slang. And actually, on that specific day, Liz and I looked at a giant list of interesting slang words and expressions in American English. And I think she was actually the one to point it out that there were a lot of expressions and phrases related to baseball. Was that you?
Right. I think so. And if not, I'll take credit for it.
All right. So that's exactly what we're going to talk about in today's episode. Last thing I ever expected to talk about on an episode with you, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
So last time we talked, Liz, you had some big changes in store. Actually, I think the last two times we talked, you were making big moves. Can you tell me a little bit about what's been going on in your life?
Well, not only has the world changed drastically, but so has mine. The last time we talked was just before Christmas. My boyfriend and I moved to Florida around then.
Where did you move in Florida?
I moved to Fort Lauderdale, which is about 40 minutes north of Miami. So we moved there. I took the bar. I was applying for jobs. And then my boyfriend got a new job in Southern California, which is where we ultimately wanted to end up. And that's where my family is. So we moved to Los Angeles a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's actually kind of an insane past few months. I don't know if the listeners actually know what the bar is. What is it, Liz? It's pretty big deal.
Yes. So you take the bar to become a lawyer, and you have to take it in each state. So it's a two-day exam, usually between 5 and 10 essays and 200 multiple choice questions, and people study for months and months. It's very intensive, but I had taken it before in Virginia to become a lawyer the first time, and I took it this time in Florida. And now that we moved to California, I'll probably be taking it here too. So my summer looks very not fun, but because we're all stuck inside anyway,
might as well study.
That's fine.
But you aren't back in California, and you said you're in Los Angeles, right? In like the center of Los Angeles.
Yeah, so I'm in West Hollywood, close to Sunset Boulevard, that, you know, a lot of fun things take place on, like the Whiskey a Go-Go and Chateau Marmont, and just lots of things that you see on TV are, I guess, technically in walking distance from us, but nobody walks in LA, so.
Pretty awesome. But that's pretty awesome to be so close. I know you'll be out walking.
Yeah,
so
I will be.
Very cool. So let's do a quick introduction into baseball, and then we'll, get on to this episode.
Sounds good.
So we've got some fun facts here about baseball. First, it's known as America's favorite pastime. Even in the late 1800s, many considered baseball the national sport of the United States. Do you want to move on to the next fact?
Attending baseball games is a big, fun event. Baseball season is during the summer, so I feel like that's one thing people try to do every summer is catch a ball game and actually go to a major league game, though there are smaller leagues and more regional teams, but you want to go to the big ones.
Yeah, so that Major League Baseball is also called MLB, Major League Baseball. Makes sense. Liz said it's kind of like an event in itself. In what way is it an event?
Sometimes people go tailgating beforehand. So a tailgate is like the bed of a truck. But in the term tailgating, you eat food out of the back of your car in the parking lot.
It sounds so gross.
It sounds crazy, but people do it. You get to the game early, you bring some food, some drinks. Sometimes people bring a baseball mitt, throw the ball around. If you're at a football game, you bring a football, you toss it with your friends. You just have a little party at your car before the game.
Right. I definitely think that's a big part of American culture too, in with baseball and with football. Something that I think if you come to the United States and you go to a game, you should definitely get a group of friends together to tailgate.
For sure. Yeah. And if you don't tailgate, I know some of the ballparks I've been to, either because they're new stadiums and they've built stuff around the stadium, or neighborhoods grew out of being close to the stadium. So in Chicago, you have Wrigley Field, and the whole neighborhood around the field is called Wrigleyville.
Wow.
And there's bars and restaurants, and people live so close to the stadium that they've built bleachers on the top of their roofs to see into the stadium, and people like sell tickets and then you can see in. It's crazy.
That's really cool though. Yeah. As you can see, it's a big part, big part of American culture, I think, across the United States.
Oh, definitely. And both you and I have lived both coasts up and down, and baseball's everywhere.
And also, one thing that we did not mention is that at the end of the season, there are the playoffs. The playoffs is when the final teams play each other to find out who will go to the World Series. Right. And the World Series is the final game in baseball, right? So you have the finals in basketball, the Super Bowl in football, but the World Series in baseball.
And it's not lost on us that we call it the World Series, although it's just American teams.
Exactly. I guess that's a little self-centered.
Yes, because people do play it around the world. Japan, it's big, and in the Caribbean, and so
baseball is definitely in a lot of other places. So now I'm curious to know, Liz, have you ever played baseball before?
Yes. Well, for women here and girls, often they play softball, which is all the same rules as baseball, but some adaptations have been made. So the bases are closer together by, I think, like 10 feet. The pitcher's mound, so where the pitcher, the person who throws the ball to the batter, isn't a raised hill, it's just flat. And the way that the pitchers pitch, it's not overhand, like over the shoulder. They do a circle motion and deliver it by the hip instead of over the shoulder. And there are some other differences, but those are the major ones. I played softball from the time I was in T-ball, so I was about 5. Through my sophomore, my second year of high school.
Wow.
So about 10 years.
So it was a very big part of your life.
It was for a long time. And now I'm happy to just watch baseball on TV.
Okay.
And what about you, Shauna?
Well, I played softball for 1 year. I was not very good. I kind of wanted to play all the different sports when I was growing up. And so softball only lasted 1 year. They put me into the outfield. I'm not even sure if I was in the outfield. I was beyond the outfield because I think they didn't want me to be part of the team. I couldn't catch very well. I couldn't throw very well. But anyway, I did play. But as a kid, I used to actually go to a lot of A's games with my dad. And I think that was a very cool part of, you know, being a kid, you know, going to the stadium with friends and family and doing all those events that we just talked about, like tailgating before the game. And so I loved that. And you as well, did you go to the games with your parents? And
yeah, we used to go to a lot of games. We live not too far from Angel Stadium, so we go to those games kind of a lot, I think.
Let's go ahead and start with some of the expressions that we have, and we'll take turns introducing them with the definitions, and then we'll both give our own examples of how we would use them through stories in our everyday life.
So the first expression is to touch base. And that is really easy. It's just to get in contact with. I guess to put it in the context of baseball, which is where it comes from, the bases are the little white things on the infield, on the dirt part. So those are the bases, and you have to touch each one to proceed through the game and score points, runs. But in our everyday lingo, to touch base is to get in contact with. And generally, you would say it just, hey, can you touch base with me after the holidays? I want to see how you're doing. Or when you get back from vacation, touch base with me and I'll give you a new assignment. You may hear that from your boss. Anything that you can think of with to touch base, Shauna?
I mean, it's exactly like you said. Let's see. My friend Pete, he was actually one of the individuals who convinced me to create this podcast, is from Australia, and he has the Aussie English podcast. And every now and then he touches base to see how it's going on my end. So in other words, he just kind of reaches out to me just to see how I'm doing, right? He gets in contact with me. So it's, yeah, it's fairly simple to touch base.
Should we distinguish between like touching base versus like getting to bases, wink, wink?
Actually, what does it mean to get to a specific base, to get to first base, second base, or third base?
So we often use the different bases in baseball to describe a level of intimacy you've achieved with somebody else. So you may have heard in movies and TV and maybe just, you know, chatting with other people, oh, you know, we got to first base or second base, just as an easy way to colloquially describe a level of intimacy without having to go into detail as to what you did, what you performed. Because I would say people in the US tend to be a little more cagey, a little more, you know, withdrawn about levels of intimacy, especially if it's not a good friend. Right. And even then, you may just say, you know, things got pretty hot and heavy. We got to third base.
Right, exactly. So we definitely use this all the time. I got to first base, I got to second base, I got to third base. And if you want to know the specifics about what those bases mean, you can go ahead and look that up online. We definitely don't want to go into detail about those on this podcast episode, right?
Yeah.
The next one we have is to strike out.
So in baseball, to strike out is when the batter is up. They don't hit the ball. They don't get walked. They're just out. You may have heard three strikes and you're out. That's how it works. Three good pitches. You didn't swing or hit at any of them. You're out. Next batter is up.
Right. And in the past tense, it's I struck out. So the past tense of strike is struck. In real life, it means to fail, to be unsuccessful. Usually it's one specific attempt at trying to achieve something that just doesn't work out.
Yeah, I definitely say it's usually used in a romantic or I guess less than romantic situation because you're striking out. Yeah. I think we've all been there. You know, you see a cute boy in class or, you know, you're at a bar, you're trying to make eyes at somebody and they are not having it. And you strike out.
Yeah, so definitely, I think the romantic side of it is the first thing that I think of for striking out. But there are other ways to use it. I can imagine someone going for an opportunity. Say, for example, I'm a startup company and I want to go get money seed funding maybe from an angel investor. And I try and pitch my idea to them, but they don't like my idea. So I might strike out. I struck out while pitching my idea. They didn't like it. I failed. It was unsuccessful.
The next word or phrase that we thought of is a whole other ball game. You can also say a whole new ball game. Obviously, a ball game, generally, we refer to it as a baseball game. So this means an entirely different situation than previously. So a whole new ball game. So how would you use this expression, Shauna?
Well, actually, the first thing that comes to mind is my mom playing Jeopardy. And I think I mentioned this on another podcast episode, but my mom is very good at Jeopardy. Jeopardy is a game show that is on TV every single night with the amazing host, Alex Trebek. And my family plays by yelling the answers out towards the television. And my mom gets every single answer right, pretty much. And so we've told her multiple times, Mom, you need to go on Jeopardy. You need to go on the actual show. And she has sort of responded, you know, that's a whole other ball game, right? It's not like sitting in your house on your couch with your family. It's an entirely different situation being on stage in front of an audience and also with very competitive, you know, smart people. You know, it's a different ball game. What comes to mind when you think of a whole other ball game or a whole new ball game?
So, as I've mentioned, I'm a lawyer and I used to work for a judge. And so I'd be in the courtroom and the division we were assigned to was family court. And you have no right to an attorney. So people come in and they are pro se. They are representing themselves. And, you know, people tend not to be organized. They don't know like what to bring, what arguments they can or can't make, the procedures of the court. And it's a lot of chaos, or at least it can be. But then you have other times when people come in with lawyers who are prepared. They have binders. They have files. Everything's marked. They're very orderly, and it just feels like a whole other ballgame. You know, it's just a whole nother world. It's night and day.
Okay, gotcha. Good example. The next one we have is ballpark figure. And I love this one. I feel like I use this quite frequently. And
same.
Yeah, and it means a rough estimation or a guess. A figure is a number. And that number can be, you know, weight, it can refer to distance, it can refer to time, it can refer to any number, right? And a ballpark number is kind of this guessed number, an approximation. So the first thing that comes to mind when I think of a ballpark figure is actually a time back in Brazil when Lucas and I decided that we would host a barbecue for all of his friends. And he asked me if I would mind running to the store to buy meat for the barbecue, which for me is something that already makes me feel uncomfortable because I don't know Brazilian meat very well. Secondly, I don't eat that much meat. Thirdly, I don't use kilos in the United States to purchase meat regularly, grams and kilos. I mean, I don't even pay attention to the weight anyway when buying meat. And I don't know how much people eat. So it was just like, for me, like, I have no idea how much to buy. Can you please give me a ballpark figure? Like, maybe do I buy 5 kilos of meat or do I buy 1 kilo? I need a ballpark figure. Anything will do, right? So, So that's what comes to mind when I think of that. And what about you?
I guess for me, with our move just now, when we first moved here, we needed to set up cable and internet. And so we called the provider and they said, okay, we'll have somebody out there Monday. And we said, can you give us, you know, a ballpark on when they'll be here? They said, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Oh, that's so irritating.
Like, okay, so we'll just be here all day. So their rough estimation to us, their ballpark figure was all day.
Yeah, that's so, like, come on, narrow down the time a little bit, right?
Just a touch, please.
The next one I have is to take one for the team. And I like this because I do hear this a lot and I actually use it quite a bit. And it means to do something for the benefit of the group. Okay. So for example, after arriving at a beach party, you might realize that, you know, maybe the group left the stereo at the apartment and the apartment's 30 minutes away, but you decide to take one for the team and you go and get it, right? You do it for the benefit of the group. You go back home and you bring it back so that you can have music at the party. What comes to mind in your personal life when you think of to take one for the team? How have you used this before, Liz?
I've definitely, and I think probably we've all been in this situation when you're in school and you have a group project, and there's definitely part of it that is the hardest and everybody's sort of shying away from doing it. And you say, okay, I'll take one for the team. I'll do the hardest, the largest part of this group project. And that's just how it is. I want a good grade. I'll take one for the team.
Mm-hmm. Did you do that a lot in school? Did you take one for the team regularly?
I'm a more dominant person, so I did, just because that's my personality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I tend to be that way too. One of the other examples I can think of, and this might be a little bit overkill, but before Uber, when people used to have to figure out how they were going to get home from parties, we regularly had the discussion, who is going to be DD? And DD stands for designated driver, the person who doesn't drink, who kind of hangs out the whole night in order to drive the drunken individuals home. And so I remember on occasion being the DD, right? I took one for the team. I decided I'm going to help you guys. I'm going to hang out and not have any alcoholic beverages. So that was another one I thought of.
No, that's good.
So that is it for the expressions that we have for today's episode. And one last thing before we wrap this up, we'd like to give a few recommendations for baseball films that you can watch if you are interested in this topic. You will hear some of the vocabulary that we used repeated. So it's great for repetition and yeah, just for fun to get a little bit closer to American culture. Yeah, so we thought of The Sandlot. That's my personal favorite baseball movie out there. I feel like everyone who comes to the United States or who is interested in American culture needs to watch The Sandlot. Liz actually was really interested in a lot of different baseball movies. Do you want to read the rest of the ones you came up with?
Yeah, there's a bunch of other movies. There was a recent movie with Brad Pitt called Moneyball. Movies from the 90s with baseball in it include Major League, that has Charlie Sheen in it, Angels in the Outfield with the young Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Field of Dreams, and my personal favorite, which is A League of Their Own. Actually, Madonna is in it, and Rosie O'Donnell, and Gina Davis, and it's a great movie set in the 1940s during World War II, and women came in and played on the baseball teams while the men went to war. But it's a fun movie. That sounds dramatic, but it's a lot of fun.
That's a good list there. That's the end of part one to this recording. If you're interested in getting part two, stay tuned. It will be posted within the next 2 weeks. Hope you're staying safe, enjoying your learning, and talk soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.